It is always such a joy and privilege for any pastor to be able to perform the sacrament of holy baptism for a new baby. And so I invite now the Scott and Green family to come forward as we baptize little Annabelle Lee. All right. Congregation, if you would join in at the appropriate times, I appreciate it so much. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. It is given to us without price. And today, Becky Scott and Justin Green present their daughter, Annabelle Lee Green, for holy baptism. Okay? And so I ask you this question, Justin and Becky. Will you nurture Annabelle in Christ's holy church with teaching and examples that she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will.
We will.
Let us pray. Most blessed Father, we give you thanks over this water you have provided and blessed through your Holy Spirit. We recall the baptism of Jesus Christ and the anointing of our Lord through your Spirit. We understand through our baptism we grow to know Jesus. And one day convicted of our sin, we become ready to proclaim him as Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless Annabelle who receives this water now. May she be clothed in righteousness and grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. What name is given to this child?
Annabelle Lee Green.
Annabelle Lee Green, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you grow in faith and in the discipleship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ooh, sweet. Okay, this is pastoral privilege. I will bring her back. Oh, she doesn't like this at all. Yeah, meet your church family. And let me know if they, you know, don't do right. Some of these will be your Sunday school teachers. And some of them will just have smiles for you on Sunday morning. Some of you will be, you'll meet them in Vacation Bible School. Uh-huh. Yeah. Check them out. Yeah, go ahead. They're pretty nice. You'll like them. Did great. Would you please stand now in honor of Annabelle and join with me in this congregational pledge. Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care Annabelle Green, whom this day we recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that she may grow in the knowledge and the love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ our Lord? With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that this child, Annabelle Lee Green, surrounded by steadfast love and established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, we give you thanks for Annabelle's precious life and for her loving family. Bless and keep them now and forever in your blessed peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's stay on our feet for just a minute. We're going to start a fire in this room. It's got kind of soft. Let's get going here. Ooh, 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 ooh,
We're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see.
Sing it out.
Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame that made me grow. So there's no doubt or denying, let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You only need a spark to start a whole place. It only takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same. Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. They need to know I need to go. Spirit, won't you fall on my
Sing
heart
it out.
Now? Start a fire in my soul. Fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying, let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me.
You are the fire, you are the flame, you are the light on the darkest day. We have the hope, we bear your name, we carry the news that you have come to say. Only you can say.
Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame that made me grow. So there's no doubt or denying.
Sing it out.
Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You are the fire, you are the flame, you are the light on the darkest day. Oh, start a fire in me. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Awesome, amen. Thank you so much.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see.
cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let's sing this last one together.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
Sing it out.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. To my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
And exchange it.
And exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, if all my friends will come forward. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Lovely.
Good, lovely. Fantastic. So what is today? Mother's Day. And I have a question for you. Have you told your mothers Happy Mother's Day yet? Did you give your mothers a present or a card yet? A card. Very good. Yes. You did breakfast. Wow. So what do you think about that, other moms? Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I found a card, and it says, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. But the one part that I love about it, on the inside, it says, read the very last line.
I love you. I love you.
Very good. Because, you know, we do love our moms, right? And what are some ways that we love our moms? How?
By giving them a card and giving them a hug.
By giving them a card and giving them a hug? What else? Maybe hold on.
Loving on her.
Loving on her. How about maybe cleaning your room, maybe,
doing chores,
sweet, that's right. So there's many ways that we could say, I love you, to our moms, right? Well, you know, does God like the same way that we say, I love you, to our moms, that we say, I love you, to him? He loves us. What are some ways that we can say, I love you, to God? Maybe pray, I love you. Maybe even showing it in our actions. What are some ways that we can show I love you to God by our actions? Would it be maybe helping an elderly neighbor? Maybe making them cookies? Maybe opening a door at a restaurant or opening a door at a store of some sort? Or maybe just talking to him and telling him, thank you for all that you give me, for all of my blessings. So as you thank your mom, not only today, thank your mom every day by saying, I love you and thank you for what you have helped me or given me or shown to me, that you could do the same thing to God every day. By saying, I love you and thank you for what you've given me. Ryan, would you pray for us?
Dear Lord, we have come to your house today to say, I love you. Help us to go out of here today and show that we love you by our actions. Amen.
As we come to a time to pray, please look in your bulletin and especially lift up in your hearts those persons who are listed. And I know that there are so many others that don't make it on the prayer list, but they are nevertheless in our hearts and in our prayers. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, what a privilege it is to gather in your house today as the family of God and to do something which your Son taught us to do, and that was to pray to you. Help us to remember the way he taught us to pray, not just all about asking and receiving, but about confession and praising and adoring you and being grateful of our relationship with you, and being thankful that we have access to you through your grace and through the forgiveness of our sins by our Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up to those to you who need our prayers, those who are recuperating from surgery, those who are awaiting results of tests, those who are facing medical tests, those who are struggling with difficult decisions, those who are hurting financially, physically, those who perhaps feel estranged. We lift them up to you to receive your care and for each and every one to know that you have not abandoned them, that there is one who cares far greater than we can care for one another, and that is you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, on this Mother's Day, we lift up to you in thanksgiving the women of the world. We thank you for mothers who have loved us, stood by us, taught us, released us, and now watch over us. We pray for those women who, without children, have still been ones who nurtured us throughout our lives at various points, whether they taught us in church or taught us in school or were a kind neighbor or maybe someone that just assisted our parents when we needed assistance. And God, we pray for those women who were not able to be sources of strength to their families for whatever reason. We lift them up to you as well. We pray for those mothers that Mother's Day is difficult because they live in this world, but they have already lost a child. So, Father, on our hearts and minds today, we have lots of people dear to us, that are with us, that live afar, that have gone on to live with you, that we hold dear in our hearts. So now, God, as we come before you in thanksgiving for these women in our lives, we thank you, O God, that you will always be our Father. We will always be your children. And we come to you and confess our sins and thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray the most beautiful, complete, and perfect prayer ever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to offer our gifts to the Lord, I just want to share with you that if you didn't bring your checkbook today, no worries. The van campaign envelope will be in the bulletin in the next 3 weeks. So be sure to be mindful of that as it is definitely a need for our church. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, in your law and in your scripture, you instituted that part of the act of worship was to give to you. Bring the full tithes from the storehouse into the sanctuary you declared. So, Father, in this moment, we give our tithes and our offerings to you, knowing that you will multiply them with your grace and with your power, that they will meet the needs of the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart, it's satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow.
Better is one day in your house. Better is one day.
knows her just well.
Sing that one more time together. Better is one day.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Sing it if you believe it.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Elsewhere.
Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be going to the Old Testament, reading from the law. As we know, the first five books of our Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the Jewish law. Today, looking at the book of Deuteronomy, and hearing what the Word of God has to say about having a home that is built on faith. Hear this Word of God to the people of God as recorded in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A few years back, I was planning a Mother's Day worship service, sitting down with the associate pastor and the minister of music, and we were selecting appropriate hymns for a wonderful Mother's Day service. And as we were flipping through the hymnal, the page landed on a hymn. And the title of that hymn was, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I See." And I wondered if God was sending me a message. Ah, the church, the United Methodist Church, dubs this Mother's Day on the Christian calendar used in the United Methodist Church as the Festival of the Christian Home Day. Look around you. We see all kinds of families, don't we? We see single-parent families. We see families without children. We see extended families living under one roof. We see multicultural families. Never before have we lived in a day where family was so diversely defined. And each and every one we celebrate. Family. You know, as we draw closer to this election, and quite frankly, in May, there's several, maybe county, state elections. Isn't that a word that gets tossed around a lot? Family values. That if you just believe that this candidate is a role model for how to have a great family, that, well, that absolutely qualifies them to the office in which they desire to be elected. So what did Jesus say about family? I think he said quite a bit, actually. As we think about this, his Bible was the Old Testament, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. I quote with you the first chapter, verses 26 through 28, instituting the original design. And the word said, "Let us make man in our image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, for I will give you dominion over every living thing and every plant and every seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And Jesus, growing up in his own family, with his mother Mary, with his heavenly father, and with his earthly father, Joseph. And we know, as we read the scriptures, he had brothers and sisters, but he was trained in the scriptures. He was trained in the scripture text from Deuteronomy because he knew the law. He knew the books of the law, and he knew the books of prophets and the Psalms. And he not only knew them, he studied them, was trained in them, he shared them with his family. And to stimulate his faith, he went to the synagogue and he listened more and he shared. And the scriptures tell us they were astonished by how he spoke. As Jesus entered his call and mission into ministry, he applied all that he had learned, everything that he knew, to his followers about life. And hear what he said again. "Have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them that they might be joined together and become one? Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." And there Christ affirmed the covenantal design. Now, Jesus believed in the blessing of families. We know that he attended a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And we know this because that was the place of his first miracle, when the host, something terribly embarrassing happened. He ran out of wine. The servants brought the jars of water to Jesus as Mary urged him to do something, son. And he did. And he turned the water into wine. Weddings are beautiful. And I can tell you, weddings are expensive. Sometimes weddings aren't quite understood. Apparently, there was a little girl attending a wedding. She'd been very quiet and very well behaved throughout the whole wedding. But at the end of the wedding, she leaned over to her mother as she saw, as the little girl witnessed the bride and groom dashing happily up the aisle. And she said, "Mama, did the bride change her mind?" And she said, "Well, honey, what in the world would make you think that? Because she came down the aisle with one man and she's leaving with another." Children, they can come up with the craziest things. Just finished my last confirmation class with our young people. Love to hear their questions. Love to hear their thoughts. Yesterday, celebrated the first birthday of our granddaughter. Loved watching her wondrous eyes at every little thing that was opened. The greatest picture probably was of having her first birthday cake. I have a picture of her mother doing just that very thing. Jesus had something to say about children. He said, "Unless we become like one of them, eager to learn, pure thoughts, warm, loving, unless we become like one of them," as Jesus put one on his lap and used as an object lesson, he said, "we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Several things I believe are very important when we try to understand what Jesus might be saying to us today about family and about our Christian practice in our home. First is this: Jesus wants us to remember that all are children of our Almighty Father God. Listen to how Jesus spoke to people. Very intentional. Listen to this. Daughter, your faith has made you well, was his response to the woman who dared touch the hem of his garment in the middle of a crowd. But she knew if she just touched the master's clothing, that would be enough to heal her of her long-suffering hemorrhage. Son, your faith has made you well, he said to the paralytic. Not only because of his faith, but the faith of his friends who brought the paralytic to Jesus. Why did he say your sins are forgiven? Because Jesus knew that the paralyzed young man had been in this condition a long time. And the question, why him, had entered into his mind and his heart more than once, and he was bitter. And Jesus wanted him to know he was forgiven, blaming God. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves. For if they will do this when the wood is green, what will they do to it when it's dry? And Jesus was saying that if the Romans would do this to him, an innocent man, what were the Romans going to do to the Jews who were actually guilty of crime? It was very important to Jesus that people of faith know that he connects to them as family. Sons, daughters, children. Secondly, Jesus wants us to know that family are those whose purpose is to follow God's will. Jesus was visiting someone in their home following several healings. And the crowd followed the miracle man. And the crowds were growing. And this was not a large dwelling where Jesus was having a meal. And the crowds pressed in to the house. And the scriptures tell us to where Jesus and the people couldn't even eat their meal. And a message came to the door. And the message was for Jesus, and it said, your mother and your brothers are outside for you to take you. And he looked at that as a teaching moment. And he looked at those who faithfully had followed him, those who believed in him and had invited him to partake in a meal. And he said, these are my mother, brothers, and sisters. Consider the family. As in any family, there's going to be strife and there's going to be conflict. And that's mainly because we are all so full of personality. Opinions. Experiences. Jesus says we're to go to our brother and reconcile. If we have a conflict, if we differ. But he says, don't do so with an ulterior motive. Do so because you feel motivated in your heart from a deep love and a need for that reconciliation again, to be bonded as one. Anything less is not acceptable, it's not redeemable. And Jesus said, as we find it in Matthew 12, 25, a house divided by itself cannot stand. Our homes need a sure and solid foundation. And nothing else is going to withstand the trouble that we endure, the trouble that we experience, and we all do, unless it is built on a solid foundation in Christ. Things will disappear. Things will break down. People will disappoint. Even family members will disappoint. You cannot have your life founded on things and even on people. Our foundation must be on Christ alone, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. A home built on the foundation of Christ is a home which will last, which will make the practice of love, wisdom, and hospitality a priority. I know I disappointed my folks at times. And from their balcony seat now, I'm sure I'm still disappointing them. We're going to disappoint one another at times. Just as much as we're going to make each other proud at times. But our pride, our love, got to be grounded in Christ. And thirdly, Jesus tells us a Christian family and a Christian home practice a spiritual connection of sacrifice. Jesus just didn't walk down a road. Jesus always used every step of his journey as an opportunity to teach and to practice. So he's walking down the road with his disciples. And as he was, there was a fellow with some means, pretty comfortable in life, and wanted to follow him. And Jesus said, "Great, come follow me. But first, you need to go sell everything that you've got. And then come follow me." Jesus knew those things had just strapped, had bound that person. Probably they inherited the wealth. Well, that's not their fault, is it? And then probably that wealth multiplied. Isn't that wise? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? But it became the focus. And Jesus said, "You can't have another focus if you're going to follow me. I'm it. My Father's kingdom and the work with it. That's it." Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, we have left everything to follow you." And Jesus said, "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or land for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age and the age to come in eternal life." When I read that, I think that's a lot to sacrifice. The ministry is a lifestyle of sacrifice. We don't pick the town we're going to live and serve. Lots of times we don't pick our home. It's a parsonage with someone's old couch. But what Jesus is saying is real sacrifice. And what Jesus is saying is that all that we sacrifice here is nothing compared to the rewards that we will receive, and God rewards the faithful and those who know sacrifice. There was a fellow who wanted to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus was walking along the road again. Jesus said, "Come on, follow me." The fellow said, "I'd love to. Well, my dad just died. I got to go bury my dad. And after I do that, I'll come." Now, what Jesus says next is not teaching disrespect to the Jewish law. Jesus had the greatest respect for the Jewish law. And the Jews knew you took care of family, living or dying. So when Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, he's not being flip here. What he's saying is, let those who are not earnestly yearning and desiring to know the gospel, to be the living gospel in this world, changing things, loving Christ, following Christ, let those that are not interested in that, let them bury the dead. But for those that want to be spiritually alive, let them follow me. You come with me and I'll help you change the world through salvation. Family is important. But I'll tell you one thing that's more important, and that's being reborn in this life. And every single day is that renewal opportunity for rebirth. What do you and your family do together that you could say is a sacrifice through your faith? Can you think of anything? What do you and your family do that shows the world, that shows each other within the family, we follow Christ? Do you get up in the morning and read the upper room together over the cup of coffee? Do you end your day physically holding the hand or holding the heart from somebody away as you say a prayer? Do you text someone a prayer in the middle of the day because you know that they're facing something pretty difficult that day? Whether surgery, pink slip, difficult conversation with a child or a family member in crisis. What are you doing with your family in Christ? And finally, Jesus says our Christian home today, although it should reflect Christ's heavenly kingdom, it's not going to look like our eternal home. There was a religious sect, much like the Pharisees, but they were the Sadducees, and their primary purpose was to rigidly uphold the Jewish law. So they came to Jesus giving him a trick question. They said, if a woman's husband dies, who's going to take care of her? And then the word says her brother. But what if that brother dies? War, illness, accident. Then whose wife is she going to be in heaven? And Jesus basically said there's not going to be the need for husbands and wives and sons and daughters in heaven. Because we are going to God. We are the children of the Almighty Father. We will be His equals. We will all be siblings of one another, like it or not. And then Jesus said, we are going to be as angels. We're going to be given something to do. Whether it's being part of the heavenly host and praising God, or whether it's going to be as a messenger, or whether it's going to be as a ministering spirit, like happened for Jesus in the wilderness following the temptations, we're going to be as angels. I just can't imagine. I don't want to rush it, but I can't imagine. Our scripture text today from Deuteronomy bears hearing again. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these commandments in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you're walking through the house, And we know it's important to not only teach our children when they're children, but as they're young adults, and we never quit being their parents, whether we don't have children of our own, they're God's children, and God has put us here to be a witness to them of our own faith and to be a part of their nurturing. But we need to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. We need to be obedient to our faith, and it's a hard word to chew on. Obedience. We know as children we have to obey our parents, but when we get adults, we kind of hope we don't have to do a whole lot of that obedience stuff. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got to be all about the obedience stuff. Tony and I experienced a miracle a couple of weeks ago. Most of you know it, maybe not everybody. Our house sold in 8 days in a depressed market. June 6th, if we don't hurry up, we're going to be homeless. I'll take your address, and you can have a guest or two if you'd like. So we've been house hunting. And it's amazing what people, how do I say this? I'm very picky, shocker. I'm very picky and really clean my house. And cleaned it, and I staged it. Took away some of the family photos and just did it just so. Because people come look at my house. They're going to buy it. Guess what I'm going to do when I quit the ministry? I'm pretty good at the house sold in 8 days. Now, I give all the glory to God on that. But as we're going and looking through homes, I find out right away if they need to call Molly Maid or not. I find out right away as to whether they've taken care of their home. And one of the ways that I find out right away is if I see separation of the crown molding and, you know, the house is settled and there might be a little crack in the wall. And I think to myself, I don't know who the builder was, but I kind of wonder about how firm he built the foundation. Sure, houses settle, I know that. But on this festival of the Christian home and Mother's Day, I ask you, I plead with you to talk with your families and to talk with your own soul. How firm is our foundation? Is it on Christ or is it on our success? Or is it on our need? Then I'd ask you to examine if you've got any cracks in it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We invite our celebration singers and band to come forward now as we have our closing song. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior for the very first time, or to renew that faith, or if you'd like to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so as we stand and now sing our closing song.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Sing it out.
Amazing love. My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you.
This Mother's Day morning, Festival of the Christian Home. I hope that you'll take a moment and greet. We've got lots and lots of visitors today. It's so wonderful to see families today, especially the Scott Green family. I'm telling you, I think you get the prize today for filling up the most seats. That's great. Annabelle Lee will remember this day, I'm sure. Please receive this blessing. And now, God, as we go forward, may we do so on a firm foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, sharing the good news that all are forgiven as we believe and repent of our sins. May we go forward and share that same grace to all we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.